it's that time again. It's the Persiflage podcast number 12. Well, this is the first time for number 12. If you remember your numbers, the last one we did was number 11, which was last week. So this Persiflage dates back to June 7th, 2001. And the little tagline underneath says, "That's right, you missed 11." But maybe you didn't. Okay, so the very first article this week is called Doggy Wisdom. A friend of mine recently said to me that no cat had ever informed her of anything of importance. And this made me think again of all the useful things I've been told by dogs. Unlike Poprishin, I have never resorted to reading a dog's mail or rifling his or her personal papers. All the information that I have received from canine sources has been passed on willingly, and I might add, cheerfully. Dogs, in my experience, are always happy to pass on whatever information comes into their hands, I should say paws, and will do so with little prompting. The less generous-minded might be inclined to put this down to a dog's love of hearing his or her own voice, a trait which I have noticed and will not deny. But I prefer to think that this impulse is sparked by a dog's great desire to be helpful. I can't count the number of times a strange dog has interrupted his own business to give me directions when I was lost, or helped me change a tire when I was stranded. And everyone has a story of a dog who helped them make up the change for a bus. I myself, caught without my wallet in a restaurant and mightily embarrassed when presented with the bill, was aided by a large bull mastiff who graciously charged my dinner to his visa. But it is not my intention to speak of the general helpfulness of dogs here. There is not room. But to consider a truly useful piece of information passed on to me by a canine acquaintance. Many years ago, when I was a mere boy of 22, I had the good fortune to meet a beagle terrier cross named Norman. Norman was a fine dog, and a superlative example of all things doggy. He was lacking really only one thing, or perhaps I should say two. That is to say, he had been subject to a rather common, amongst dogs, surgery at a very early age. Since Norman was a loquacious and forthright example of a quadruped, I decided to question him about his feelings concerning his loss. Being a young man and subject to the usual urges, these things were much on my mind, and I had a hard time imagining myself in a similar position to my new friend, although, having just been ejected finally from a rather messy love affair, I was giving the matter some thought. His words to me have been both a comfort and at times a thorn in my saddle. "My boy," he said, "sex is overrated." Hubris. Well, there may be some disagreement on that subject. Next up is a poem entitled "Hope for the Hopeless." Well, that's good news, isn't it? "Existence seems hopeless. I drag myself across the emptiness of downtown. No one to talk to. No one even to look at. How to go on. Thoughts of suicide. Loneliness. Nothing to do. If only there was an arena down here." C.F. Maynard. And of course, now there is an arena downtown, so that's good news. I wonder if Mr. Maynard has cheered up somewhat. He could hardly get more depressed. And we have once again, I believe once again, I think we read letters before, a section entitled "Letters Not Worth the Stamp," which appear to be letters to Persiflage from a variety of individuals. Okay. Let's dive right into it. Dear Persiflage, I would like to correct a false impression that your readers may have picked up from L. Rose Watermulder's interview with Otto Baudet, Persiflage number 11, that was last week. Herr Baudet wants people to think that he is a happy and fun-loving German. But this is not at all the case. I know Baudet, and let me tell you, in person he is one sour kraut. Do not be fooled. Signed, The Rectifier. Dear Rectifier, it seems clear to us that the sole reason for writing was one obvious and not very funny old joke. Also, it is extremely hubristic to refer to oneself as the Rectifier. Please send us no further missives. HB. Well, I would agree with that. That is a bad joke. And not very kind to the Germans, I have to say. Okay, another one. Dear Persiflage, I'm mad as hell. This city is crazy. Is there a single sane person in City Hall? Obviously, all those people must be on crack. If they think these grandiose projects are going to improve this city, then I just don't know. This latest scheme is totally outrageous. It's only going to make us seem like more of a hick town. A puseum? What are they thinking? Signed, beside himself with rage. I've been to the puseum. It's really quite lovely. Dear BHWR, we here at Persiflage are also against, almost unanimously, this project. We believe the smell alone will do nothing to increase our appeal as a tourist destination. However, the tone of your letter is altogether too much. In future communications with this publication, please restrain yourself. Excessive use of italics and exclamation marks should only be found in humorous letters. We assume that you are in dead earnest about this grave subject. HB. Confusing. Dear Persiflage, I have read your magazine, in quotation marks, on several occasions in the past, but I will never, this is in bold type, read it again. Your 10th issue so offended me that after reading the first article, once again in quotation marks, I had to lay perfectly still on my floor for several minutes before my breathing returned to normal. Let me just say that I knew, bolded, the late Mr. Muggins, and he was nothing at all like you portrayed him. He was generous to a fault, almost, but not quite. I don't recall his being a backgammon player or a battleship aficionado, nor was he much of a drinker, and certainly not of martinis. I only recall his having the occasional glass of wine with dinner. I also have no memory of his ever being with someone named Esmeralda. Come to think of it, the cat I knew wasn't called Mr. Muggins, it was Fluffy. Never mind. Signed, Confused in Transcona. Dear Confused, why did you even bother sending this letter? HB. Well, I have to agree with that. That makes no sense whatsoever. And the last section is, once again, the quotations. So here we go. Other people's wisdom. Silence, also many times, is the wisest thing for a man to have in his mind. Pindar. What is the hardest task in the world? To think. Ralph Waldo Emerson. Progress in thinking is progress towards simplicity. Sigmund George Warburg. I have no idea who that is. Anyway, that's it for this week. Next week will be Lucky 13. So I'm looking forward to that. Anyway, goodbye.